Hi, everyone. Welcome back to I've Been Thinking. This is Brietta, your host. I am always excited when we have someone who comes to join us on the platform, especially because I fundamentally believe how important personal narratives are. I think it's so interesting to hear from other creatives, other innovators, other thinkers, because I think it just sparks something inside of all of us to maybe learn a new way to do something or maybe think about something in a way that we haven't thought about it before. And today I'm excited to have Edwin Aguila on our podcast today. He is a native of East New York in Brooklyn. My heart is for Brooklyn, so that's a plus in a good direction. And his passions are really twofold. He's both an actor and a musician. He's performed off Broadway with a project called Gen NYZ. Musically, he's released a full-length hip-hop mixtape. And so his passion is really all the things that we in this platform love: music, theater, words, creativity. And so I'm really excited to have him on the podcast. Hi, Edwin. How are you?
I'm doing good. Glad to be here.
Good. So I think one of the things that I loved about your bio is that you said you're a proud Puerto Rican and a native of East New York. And I love that because I think that, you know, native New Yorkers always have such immense pride about coming from the city. So I love to hear that in your bio.
That's a fact. And that's why I kind of made my mixtape, because I wanted to show love to where I come from. I went to school upstate for 4 years, and doing that made me realize how much I miss the city where I'm from. And coming back, I was just trying to get back my bearings in the music world. And for some reason, after doing Gen YZ, I was like, why not make a full project, like just, you know, 10 tracks of New York? So
I love that. I mean, and I think that's really the best way to be creative. It's really about what am I wanting to hear versus trying to gear your projects towards other people. It's always good to say, like, what do I want to be talking about? What am I passionate about right now? And so it sounds like that love for the New York experience was definitely the place that sort of set you on this full-length mixtape. Now, where can people find that?
Yes, you can find it on SoundCloud. It's New York, but York is YAWWK, kind of the New York accent.
Yeah.
Experience. I released it under my old artist name, Jabir Farouk, but I go by EA now. Just a simpler name, very on brand for my standards. And but yeah, that's basically it.
That's awesome. Yeah, we'll make sure that we'll have that information linked in the episode description so that people can easily find it. I'm always interested to hear from artists about how they got started. You know, mm-hmm. I think that for most of us, I find this to be a running theme, which is that I think most of us were artists and creatives sort of from the beginning. And then it sort of morphs and becomes different sorts of things. But I'm interested, how did you get started, you know, becoming an artist?
Yeah, that's very funny, because I didn't start.
Really?
I didn't really have an interest of being an artist or being a performer. It was more something that came along because I wanted to find something to deal with my feelings and my anger. I used to get bullied a lot when I was younger. I mean, high school and middle school for my weight. And I would always get angry and fight almost every day. And it was taxing on me health-wise.
Yeah.
I dealt with depression and suicidal thoughts. So I wanted to find something that I can channel, or use something like use an art form or something to channel mm-hmm. my feelings. And that started with writing, poetry, and then it became rap. And that just soon blossomed to performing live, my music live. And I just wanted to do it for the rest of my life. That's the moment. Like, maybe 11th grade, when I performed at the New Eurekans Poet Cafe, I knew I wanted to perform for the rest of my life.
Wow, that's amazing. I love hearing the fact that it wasn't necessarily something that you saw yourself doing from, you know, maybe a younger age, but I think I love the idea that it was the vehicle to help you navigate, you know, that difficult time that you were dealing with, whether it was bullying or any of sort of the emotional things that you were working through. And I think, you know, for a lot of people, being creative is obviously the best way to have a vehicle to process how mm-hmm. you're feeling, to get those words and those emotions out. So for you, when you made the sort of, when you were figuring out, maybe I'll be a writer, and then that sort of transitioned into maybe poetry and rapping, what was the jump between that and actually being like an actor, being on stage? Because I know you were in that project, Gen NYZ. How did you make that switch?
So I graduated in 2013 from high school. Mm-hmm. And I went to school upstate, University of Rochester, and I still wanted to do music, but I wanted to add something. I've always had like a slight interest in acting, but not, it wasn't like, we weren't offered many opportunities at my school to do like theater and stuff.
Yeah.
And so going to college upstate at Rochester, there was a theater program, and I was able to take classes and be a part of that community for a bit. And I loved it. And so I took what I learned after I graduated. And after I graduated, I didn't have a set path. I didn't know where I was going to go. I was like lost for a bit.
Yeah.
And then one of my best friends actually sent me kind of the application or audition process for the show, Gen YZ. And I went, I guess they loved me from the beginning because of my energy. I try to keep that good energy during when I'm in a cast or, you know, at all times in the studio. And from there, I felt like it kind of reassured me that I can do this. I can perform.
Yeah.
And I've been developing my acting skills ever since then, trying to transition into film. Mm-hmm. And I did, like I also mentioned, I did Lyricist Lounge, which is a huge name in the hip hop world. Shout out to Ant and Danny for that. It was an amazing experience to kind of link acting and music in one art form of creating rap sketches. And it was an amazing experience. I can't say that enough.
Yeah, I love that. I think, you know, what's really interesting about hearing you sort of talk about how you made that transition from writer to performer, I think it actually brings up a really good point that I'm always talking about, whether it's in person with people that I may be working with creatively or even through this podcast, which is the ability to be flexible about how you're sending your art out into the world. I think that if you get pigeonholed into one type of art form, that you may be limiting yourself, right? You know,
right.
And so you see yourself as a musician, but you're not exploring, well, maybe I could translate that into theater. Maybe I can translate that into television or film. So I love the fact that you're open to the possibility of sharing your art through a lot of different mediums.
Right. And that was kind of that particular reason was one of the reasons why I changed my artist name. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to stick to a particular type of hip hop or music. I love writing, you know, my feelings and conscious stuff, you know, talking about the world around us.
Yeah.
But I also wanted to explore, you know, I'm Puerto Rican. I like to explore that culture. I'm also human, you know, I deal with, you know, a lot of, deep stuff, you know, breakups and stuff like that. So I wanted to touch upon that without having, I guess, a connotation of my name, because my old name meant like restorer who distinguishes truth from falsehood.
Yeah,
and that's more prophetic, and you know, like I'm supposed to be like a leader for the people. When, you know, I can do that, but I also wanted to explore other avenues of, you know, love and hate and all that stuff, you know, like all the raw emotions that I know I have as, you know, Edwin.
Right. Yeah. And I think that that's really, really the best way to be authentic, in my opinion, in your work is to have less constraints rather than more. I think, you know, one of the things that I'm constantly exploring is what does it mean to be authentic in your work? And that means different things to different people. But I think sort of what you're saying really touches on sort of the way that I view it, which is that authenticity means that I have the ability and the flexibility to change in my work because as a human being, I'm always changing. And exactly. So I have the freedom to explore that through my work. How do you define being authentic in your work?
Yeah. So, and I learned this from college and, you know, shout out to Douglas Leadership House, but I'm unapologetically me. I'm proud of who I am. I'm proud of my culture. And I guess going through that and developing my own sound, mm-hmm. it made me dive into my authentic self.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, as an artist, we're always trying to appeal to others, but also trying to stay to ourselves.
Yeah.
And so it's a hard balance.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when it comes to music, I feel it's better to be myself and explore myself or different sides of myself without having to appeal to, like, having this mindset of appealing to somebody when what you're saying can appeal to a crowd and be inspirational to a crowd.
Yeah, I love that. And I think, you know, it's interesting because I was just having this conversation the other day, which is that we live in a culture that's so obsessed with putting a label on something, right? Mm-hmm. They want to be able to label it so they know how to categorize it because we live in this, you know, society that we want to be able to sell things or push things or market things. So we have to know what is it, right? And right. I think that as artists, to your point, that's a hard line to balance. Like, we understand that there's a business to this and we want to be self-sustaining and we want to be successful, however you define success. But, you know, you want to be able to do your art and also support yourself so you understand that there's this business. But, you know, you can't be so wrapped up in that part of it that it strips you of the freedom to be, to explore. And I think that that's one of the reasons why I love when I see other artists who explore other things. You know, you see singers who become actors, you see rappers who become fashion designers. Like, mm-hmm. to me, it makes so much sense because when you're a creative, it's just finding the medium through which you're letting your art flow through, and you should be able to explore that any way that you want to.
Exactly. And you know, you mentioned, branching out. I actually had to do that, or I chose to do that for, my project with my theater company. We were supposed to do a live performance of what we were working on in April, but, you know, COVID hit and we had to cancel that. So the creative director, Jane, came up with the idea of doing something online. And knowing my talents, I can always, you know, drop a 16 bar verse of, you know, what's going on, or, you know, I can always do a monologue, but I wanted to challenge myself.
Yeah.
And I use Photoshop, you know, to do a visual art image. And I usually use it for like my album covers and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And this is where I really challenged myself. This is something I didn't know how to do. I made myself like an anime character or a cartoon character. Mm-hmm. And the image is on my Instagram and stuff. But the full project in itself will be Tuesday, where we have our premiere. Where we have a voice, I did a voiceover and stuff, and I just created like a very, I wanted to inspire hope, you know, during these times of COVID and, you know, protests and that stuff. So.
Yeah, totally. And I think it's really interesting to hear you talk about sort of all of the different ways that you're exploring, you know, your storytelling abilities. And you touched on it, and it's definitely been a running theme here on the podcast, because how can we talk about anything that's going on in the world and not talk about, you know, the fact that between a global pandemic, i.e. COVID, and everything that's happening with the protests and everything that's happening around racial justice and social justice, mm-hmm. that as an artist, you know, I believe that as an artist, if you're not in touch with those things, then you're probably not paying attention. So I'm curious, from your perspective, how are you looking at where we are in the world right now? How are you processing that?
Oh my gosh.
I know we need a whole separate segment just segment for that. Just for that.
Oh man. It's an ongoing fight. Yeah. I say that all the time. 400 plus years of racial oppression, slavery, and all that stuff. And I if it wasn't for COVID, I would be out there too. If I were to catch that virus, I would be dead because I have asthma and it's just gonna make that worse.
Right.
But yeah, like I'm all for it. Like I used to do protesting when I was in school, and that was back around the Mike Brown case, mm-hmm. or the Trayvon case. So many cases, and it's terrible, and dealing with it is very hard on the mental health. I had to take a day just to get away from everything because it hurt.
Yeah.
And then me being the artist I am, I kind of created that into a positive. And I wrote about it and, you know, did like a little remix to a song by Rod Wave and just added my verse to it about, you know, what happened to George Floyd at the time. And yeah, that's basically it.
It does hurt. And I think that, you know, the theme that I have been sitting with, I think the thing that has helped me throughout this process is to have conversations with people about it, because right. to your point, it's such a large issue. And I think that's the piece that, you know, again, has been a reoccurring theme in the conversations that I've had, which is, if anyone is coming into this assuming that justice and reform is going to happen overnight, you're going to be sorely disappointed. Like,
exactly.
Like this is a decathlon. This isn't a sprint. And it's super important that people take care of themselves. To your point about the mental health and all of that, like, I keep reminding people in my life personally who are just as passionate about change as I am. And I keep saying to them, like, it's okay to take a break. It doesn't in any way undermine your commitment to seeing change and reform, but you can only take in so much. You can
exactly.
And it's such negative stuff to take in that you need to take a break.
Yeah, and I was, you know, as an alumni to my house and, you know, the Black Students Union on my campus, mm-hmm. I joined a Zoom call, just listening in and putting my input and, you know, and luckily there weren't any like malice or malicious comments in the chat. They wanted to learn. They wanted to be educated more. And, you know, as an alumni, I just told them my truth, like, you know, we dealt with this and the next generation is still dealing with this. The racism on campus and the whole, you know, the separation on campus. It's,
yeah.
You know, I'm telling you, it's like, I'm telling them it's still going on and it's up to you, you know, allies to try and change that as best as you can. You know, don't try to overpower our voices, but, you know, try to lead us there. So, you know, administration will listen, because administration did not listen when I was protesting.
Well, I think
my fellow peers.
Yeah, I think that's such a great point, because, you know, one of the things that I have, I've been really committed to is making sure that if people are reaching out to me in any way, whether it's to hear my opinion, whether it's to hear my expertise, or if it's just to, you know, commiserate on the state of the world, I just want everyone, I sort of leave them with the same statement, which is, there are many different ways to mm-hmm. fight this fight. And I don't want anyone to feel as though if they can't protest, then they're not doing what they can do. If they're not, you know, writing letters, they're not doing. I think it's about, again, going back to this idea of being authentic, it's about using the skills that you have to help amplify the voice of mm-hmm. what's happening. And whether, and you know, as creatives, so many of my artist friends, to your point, like you said, you went and you took a song and you sort of added your verse to it. Like, I've seen so many singers who are writing songs, or storytellers who are doing short pieces, or poets who are writing things, because we're using the gifts and the abilities that we have to help amplify the movement. And I think all of it has value.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, one of the things that I always want to find out from the creatives that I talk to is being an artist is such like a meaty term. And I feel like there's so many different ways that you can call yourself a creative or an artist, but I'd love to hear from you sort of how being an artist is helping you live your life. Like I'm a big proponent of living life to the fullest. And so mm-hmm. I would love to know how you as an artist are actually living life in a way that feels fulfilled to you.
Not gonna lie, it still sucks because I'm still, you know, not where I want to be, but I think since the pandemic, I was able to take time to myself, you know, focus on myself mentally, because before that I wasn't where I was supposed to be mentally. And I guess ever since then, a lot more opportunities have been coming my way.
Mm-hmm.
And rebranding myself has also helped that. And like you said, being an artist is a meaty term, because I have a lot, or people tell me I have a lot of skills to my repertoire.
Sure.
I don't like to be very braggadocious about that, but I know that I use my art to speak my facts, speak my truth. And it's been helping me. And my mom has always as a huge supporter of who I am, who I'm becoming.
Yeah.
My relationship with my mom hasn't always been, you know, this good because of, you know, being depressed and having to deal with that. I didn't want to tell my mom about that because I know how my mom acts, you know, and I don't want her to just be the crazy Puerto Rican woman coming to school, be like, who's messing with my child? Let me know that.
right.
and then I would get bullied more for that. And so it was kind of hard until, you know, I went to therapy with my mom, and that's where I broke down. And, you know, she kind of helped me pave the way to become a better man. And she didn't even know I did music or stuff until like I performed at a talent show one time, and she was
wow.
like, I didn't even know my mom, I didn't know my son, did rap. And now she like comes to every one of my shows, and usually the loud voice in the crowd, and you'll always hear her. You'll make sure to hear her.
that's the best. I mean, there's nothing better than like mom support, right? Like mom support is always the best type of support. And I think, you know, one of the things that you said that I really think is so important for people to hear, which is that, you know, being an artist, being a creative, is really about having both this sort of audacious belief that what you say is important enough that it needs to be shared with the world. To your point about not wanting to brag or any of those things, I often tell, you know, younger artists that I'm working with, I'm like, it's this weird combination of having the audacity to believe that what you think and should be shared with the world, but also having this crippling humility that's like, I'm not trying to say that my voice is the voice that everyone should listen to. And it's this weird back and forth between the two, but I think it's what brings balance to being an artist. And as long as you can ride that fine line, I think it's perfect.
Yeah. I've known a lot of snot-nose, you know, people both in the music and acting world. And I don't want to be like that at all. I always try to, you know, love everybody in my team, you know, stage managers, producers, directors, or, you know, my engineer for music. It's like, I'm trying to, it's just love. Like, you know, we're in this together, and I want to make the best product that we can ever make.
Right, exactly. And I think one of the things that I love about being an artist or being a creative is how much community you can build around yourself. It's such a great place to be in. But I want to definitely give you some time to share with our listeners where they can find you, whether it's on Instagram, your website, SoundCloud. So tell us all the different places we can find you.
Right. So my Instagram is my name, Edwin Aguila. That's how you say in Spanish. It's E-D-W-I-N-A-G as in girl, U-I-L-A. My Twitter is @RealEdwinAguila because somebody took it. my SoundCloud is, you can look up Jabir Farouk. I'm leaving that project under that name. To spell it is J-A-B-I-R and space F-A-R-O-O-Q. And yeah, or you can check the bio. I still have my SoundCloud link in my bio until my future projects come out, which will be everywhere from this point on, unless it's an unofficial remix.
Well, I am going to, I've already done a fair amount of digging into all of the work that you've created, and I definitely will be following your career from this day forward. Thank you so much, Edwin, for being on the podcast. I am always honored when people are willing to share their time and their energy, especially with me and my audience. And so I've enjoyed speaking with you. I can't wait to see what you do next as you're exploring all of the different art forms that you're a part of. And thank you so much for being here today.
No problem. For all the listeners, the anime project is coming soon. So
fantastic.
You should be enjoying.
Awesome. Awesome. We'll make sure to add all of the links to everything in the description for the podcast. All right, awesome. Everyone. Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope that you were able to take something away from this that's made you think a little bit deeper or maybe feel something that you haven't felt before. And if nothing else, it's always great to add to our community of creatives. So until next time, this is Brietta. I've been thinking, and I can't wait to talk to you again. Bye.